It is October 3rd, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our Hits and Takes section, stories from the First Read section, listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Louis Bernakis, the owner of Cirrus Cafe in the CBOT building, has passed away at the age of 96. Bernakis continued to work into his 90s and could be regularly seen at the popular restaurant in Watering Hole. Condolences to the Bernakis family and the friends of Lou on his passing. Condolences also go to CFTC Commissioner Summer K. Mersinger, who lost her grandmother, Margaret Marone, recently. She shared on LinkedIn the passing of her grandma and another significant person in her life, John Matt Sutton, a rancher on whose ranch Mersinger grew up. The SEC Historical Society posted on Friday that this day in 1977, Roberta Carmel, a securities lawyer and former staffer in the New York regional office, became the first woman commissioner, serving just over 2 years. The SEC Historical Society has a oral history from Carmel in written form that shows her deep understanding of the limits of securities law, it said on LinkedIn. I don't know if Hurricane Ian has changed Citadel's Ken Griffin's mind about South Florida as a safe financial center for his home and enterprises, but in Dubai's Palm Jumeirah Island, a new record price, $82 million, has been set for a home in the Persian Gulf Emirate. The buyer was not disclosed for the mansion built on Frond G of the tree-shaped artificial Palm Jumeirah that stands on a stretch of land known as Billionaire's Row, Bloomberg reported. Frond G? Record price? I'm sure it's just a coincidence. The Securities and Exchange Commission today announced a settlement with influencer Kim Kardashian, who promoted crypto without disclosing she was being paid for it. Bloomberg has the story with the headline, Kim Kardashian to pay $1.3 million to SEC over crypto touting. And SEC Chairman Gary Gensler gets in on the action with one of his popular Office Hours with Gary Gensler videos, this one titled, Use Caution with Celebrity Endorsements of Investment Products. The Financial Times has a special report on exchange-traded funds today. The stories include thematic funds pause for breath after market setbacks. Product launches are becoming more esoteric, but inflows have slowed for many special categories. Bond funds recover appeal after painful falls. Institutions have shifted positions after repricing of fixed income assets. Can K-pop deliver a global ETF hit? Growing overseas interest in Korean music supports launch of entertainment fund. Crypto inflows defy crash in fund values. Investor interest in Bitcoin and other alternatives remains strong despite a torrid market performance. Tech stock shocks test concentration risk for ETF investors. Even deliberately diffuse funds can still be caught by overexposure to once fashionable companies. Russia crisis challenges ETF sector's cockroach status. ETFs have built-in reputation for being able to operate through any emergency until now. The European Energy Exchange, AG, is looking for a group sustainability communications manager. This position can be filled in Leipzig, Berlin, London, or Paris. The lead story today about the CME filing for an FCM license is an interesting one. Some of the CME's competitors have brokerage arms, but it is the CME Group's dominant position in the U.S. futures market that makes this different. The CME seemingly is responding to the potential challenge from FTX. Who knows how they might use a potential FCM license? I remember being in Globex improvement meetings back in the early 2000s and having some brokers present express very strong feelings about how the CME was disenfranchising them. I don't believe those fears or feelings have subsided over the years as the CME has only become more powerful and dominant in U.S. futures trading. The Natural Resources Forum 3rd Annual ESG Energy and Mining Forum 2022 kicks off today, running from October 3rd through October 7th. ESG Week is a series of in-person events and online webinars, many of them free, feature panelist discussions of major ESG trends. Corporate leaders, sustainability experts, government representatives, investors, and NGOs are expected to attend ESG Week 2022. You can learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our MarketsWiki education short of the day is Joe Getz. What opportunities does unstructured data present? In this video from MarketsWiki Education's World of Opportunity event in New York, Joe Getz, CEO of Social Market Analytics, breaks down how unstructured data can benefit your trading. Social media posts, news articles, and blogs are all sources of potential market-moving information. The trick is parsing all of that data and using it to your advantage. Getz reveals how market participants can stay ahead of the curve using unstructured data to generate ideas, stay informed of breaking news, and identify early warning signs. The information is out there, you just have to know where and how to look. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here is a story from the Irish Echo. Chicago calling, shout out for Charlie Carey and the Southside Irish. You can take the kid out of the South Side, but you'll never get the South Side out of that kid. That's an ancient Chicago epigram that celebrates the rugged individualism, tenacity, and heroic chutzpah of the South Side in this city of big shoulders. And that goes double for South Side Irish. In 2006-07, two Irish-American guys with South Side of Chicago roots put together the deal of the century when the Chicago Board of Trade merged with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for a public offering that continues to break all records for volume trading by any exchange. Those guys were CME Group's Terry Duffy and CBOT Chairman Charles P. Charlie Carey. They had a history in the hog pits of the Mid-America Exchange, as well as shared roots in Old Chicago. A nice profile of a man who has seen it all. Charlie, it's time to do that interview with JLN. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, "The fight to save coffee from the climate crisis. Global warming is methodically destroying the ability of growers to feed demand. Science may come to the rescue." Humanity consumes a half a billion cups of coffee annually, yet its method of production is about as far from modern agriculture as one can get. There hasn't been a major effort to develop a new varietal in 50 years, and that's made coffee vulnerable. The two main species grown today are Robusta and Arabica, the latter being more favorable and coveted of the two. Most modern strains of Arabica were developed in the late 1960s. Developed decades later, this aging crop is succumbing to modern scourges like coffee rust fungus and borer beetles, along with oscillating heat and moisture levels. My comment, we need to find a solution for this, fast. Here's a story from the New York Times. The headline, "For a woman on Wall Street, crude jokes weren't the worst of it. In bully market, Jamie Fiora Higgins describes being seduced and ultimately repelled by nearly two high-flying decades at Goldman Sachs. "Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow" is the title of a popular rainbow-colored self-help book published in 1988. "Bully Market," the new memoir by Jamie Fiore Higgins, a former Goldman Sachs managing director, is clad in an unambiguous blood red, suggesting rather that if you do what you hate, the money will chase you down a dark alleyway and throttle you. Maybe eventually it will release you to self-awareness, but not without first inducing temporary blindness. My comment: one hopes that the world has changed since those days. Hopes are not always met. Here's a story. This is from LinkedIn. "Greenwood Project, A Summer That Changed Everything. My name is Emmanuel Enriquez, and I am a finance major at the University of Illinois Chicago. I am very passionate about the financial markets, and I am eager to start my hands-on learning process as soon as possible. The Greenwood Project College Scholar Program has given me the opportunity to enhance my skills in finance, which has helped me form a clear vision of my career path." My comment: here's an example of where we as an industry are making a difference, one young person at a time. Here's a story from AP News. Kim Kardashian settles with SEC over crypto promotion. Kim Kardashian has agreed to pay $1.26 million to settle Securities and Exchange Commission charges that she promoted a cryptocurrency on Instagram without disclosing she'd been paid $250,000 to do so. The SEC said Monday that the reality TV star and entrepreneur has agreed to cooperate with its ongoing investigation. My comment: anyone who believes anything that comes out of Kim Kardashian's mouth should be fined $1.3 million. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was photos. This is what Florida looks like after Hurricane Ian, from NPR. Second was no reason to come. There's nothing here. Florida residents in shock at devastation left in Hurricane Ian's wake, from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Third was a tie between NASDAQ reorganizes corporate structure in three divisions, from the Trade, and 40 years later, a life story, a post from Patrick Young on LinkedIn. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: futures giant CME considers brokerage, taking cue from crypto rival FTX. CME files paperwork to create a futures commission merchant. CME Group Inc. criticized crypto exchange FTX's plan to cut out the middlemen in the futures markets. Now the Chicago exchange giant is taking a step in the same direction. In August, CME submitted paperwork to register as a futures commission merchant, or FCM, essentially a brokerage that would allow investors to buy and sell futures on CME's marketplace. If the application is approved and CME gets into the brokerage business, investors could bypass existing brokers and connect to the exchange operator directly for futures trades. The move could save money for investors who pay fees to trade futures, but it is likely to prompt complaints from other FCMs that could lose revenue if CME undercuts them on fees. Clearing futures trades is big business for Wall Street banks, where FCM units are a key part of their prime brokerage arms, as well as for specialized firms such as Advantage Futures or R.J. O'Brien & Associates, LLC. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. Britain's financial disaster is a warning to the world. The crisis in the UK offers a preview of dangers other economies could face in an era of high inflation and rising interest rates. A toxic mix of politics, inflation, and higher interest rates is threatening the financial system in the UK, sending a shockwave through global markets and providing a warning to governments everywhere of the dangers of the new economic era we're entering. A surprise tax cut by the new British government just over a week ago sparked investor concern about the country's fiscal credibility and crashed both the pound and the market for UK government bonds known as gilts. And then finally, a story from Bloomberg. Here's the headline. Millions in cryptocurrency vanished as agents watched helplessly. Feds locked up a storage device full of ill-gotten tokens. Then someone started stealing the loot. Gary Harman grinned as he lounged in a bathtub full of dollar bills surrounded by scantily clad women. The moment captured in a photo on his cell phone could be part of his undoing. To U.S. prosecutors, it's evidence that he suddenly came into a lot of money. The prosecutors accused Harman of a very unusual crime, remotely swiping Bitcoin stored on a computer device the government had already seized in another case, brought against his older brother Larry. As authorities watched helplessly, 713 digital tokens, then worth almost $5 million, were somehow spirited away from the hardware wallet they were holding in an evidence locker. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber on the daily John Lothian News email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.